Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf pehet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Eddie Misri and family in honor of the rabbi. Eskel mizvot Eddie. Today's daf is being studied the Alun Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden, Amen. We are starting on Pe Zayin Amud Bet, and we begin 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom, starting with Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Devarim Itir, Rabbi Hananya ben Akabya, La'anshe Teberia. There were three different things that Rabbi Hananya ben Akabya was matir aloud for the people of Tiberias. Number one, Mimalein Mayim Migizustra Beshabbat. And he allowed them to draw water from the Gizustra on Shabbat, as we learned earlier, that Hananya ben Akavya used a special heter that was called Chuf Vegud, which means the Gizustra was 4 amot by 4 amot, which is 24 tefachim by 24 tefachim. He allowed them just to cut out in the middle of it, in the center of it, a hole, which is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. And then we imagine that the areas where the hole, the 4 by 4 tefachim, that area, we imagine that the walls fold in, and therefore they create imaginary four walls, and therefore that's the din of chuf, meaning bending, and then gud is gudahit. We imagine that the walls go all the way down into the water, and then you can take a bucket, stick it into the hole, it's considered a shuti yachid. So you're drawing from it a shuti yachid into it a shuti yachid, which is mutar on Shabbat. The reason we learned why he was mekel in Tiberia with this heter was because Tiberia's waters were, although a karmelit, halakhically, but since they had a lip that came above the water, and they were also in an area that was surrounded by karfifiyot, by open areas that were walled, non for residential areas, but it was a more privatized area than a normal karmelit. And the whole reason why a karmelit is assumed in the Rabbanan is because it looks like a reshut harabim, or people might confuse it by going into a reshut harabim. In this case, over here, Tiberia, the water looked more privatized the way it was set up. So therefore, he was mekel to use the heter of chuf vegut. That's the first heter that the Hananya ben Akavya gave to the people of Tiberias. The next thing, he said it's okay. Vetomnin be'atza, and you're allowed to insulate your fruit be'atza. What is atza? Yeah, it's a certain type of plant. Exactly. Now we'll see exactly what this means to insulate. Now we're not discussing on Shabbat here. We're discussing just you want to cover your fruit. Now we're going to learn that fruit, he calls it a bean plant.
The residue
of the bean plant. Okay. Now, which happens is, we're going to discuss halakha, that fruit that has wetness on it, one of the seven mashkim are yad, shahad, dam. We review that yad is yayin and dam. Okay, it's yad. Shahat, shemen. Shemen means shemen zayit, olive oil. Het is halav. Tet is tal. Tal is dew. That's what we have to know for our gemara, the tal. Yad, shahat, dam. The dalet is dvash. And name is Mayim. Those are the seven liquids that if they willingly fall on a fruit, they now are makshir it, they prepare it to receive tum'ah. A fruit cannot become tameh unless it was mukshar first, one of the seven liquids, but it has to be mukshar willingly, midat, meaning he wants it to be there. So he told them in the Anshei Tiberia that if they take these plants from the field, that these plants had moisture on them from the dew, so he said you're allowed to wrap your fruits in this plant, and it's not going to be considered mukshar, even though the dew is going to go on the fruits, and we will see why he was matir for Anshei Tiberia. Thirdly, umistapegin be'aluntit. And on Shabbat it is permissible to dry oneself, coming out of the bath, with a towel. Okay, now obviously the issue is going to be an issue of squeezing, an issue of, because the water is in the towel, so one might come squeeze the towel. Now squeezing water out of a towel on Shabbat would be melaben, That's the sort of whitening, which is laundering it. And therefore, we'll see exactly why he was matir it specifically for Anshei Tiberia. So the Gemara says, "Mimalein ma'im b'gezustra b'Shabbat." The heter that he gave them to draw water from the gezustra on Shabbat at the Amran. And we learned that already. That was on the previous daf. V'tomnin be'atzah, the fact that he allowed them to insulate the fruits or cover the fruits with this atzah, with this plant, ma'i. What's the case? So it says, Netanya, because we have a braita. Hishkim lavi psolet. If a person woke up early in the morning, that she says, Hishkim kodem ayom, before daybreak, lavi psolet tivu'a min ha-sadeh. He wants to bring the remnants of the residue of the wheat. Okay? And what does he want to do with it? Latmin bo perot. He wants to cover his perot with this residue. Im lekach netkaven lashkim. If the reason why he did this early in the morning is shirotse v'noach lo betal she'alav, because in the morning he knows there's dew on the residue, so he specifically wants to catch in the morning early to get that moisture. V'shkim achlo yivash hareu b'chiyutan. Then it's considered already that he wants it. Chiyutan is the pasuk that we learn that the water has to be placed on it. But it's written ki yutan, but it can be read ki yitin, which is the water that's on it has to be willingly, ki yitin. When somebody puts something on it, it's willingly. So since he got up early in the morning, specifically this guy, to catch the residue of the wheat when it's still moist, because it has the dua that shows what, he wants to preserve his fruit with that moisture. So therefore it's going to be considered hakshada. So we read again, three lines on the bottom. Ishkim, navi, psolet. If you got up in the morning, get the psolet. Im bishvil shiyesh alav tal. If he did it because he knows in the morning there's dew on it, harehu b'chiyutan. V'im bishvil shlo yibatel memelachto, eno b'chiyutan. But if he just got up early in the morning because he doesn't want to waste time from his work, which means during the day he works, he has a job. So he doesn't want to waste any time from his working hours. And then he gets up early in the morning. He really doesn't care about the dew that's on it. Therefore, it's not going to be considered hakshada. V'stam anshei teberia kimi shelo yibatel memelachto dameh. And the halacha of Hananya was you could assume that the people of Tiberia, they are workers. And therefore you could assume that when they got up early in the morning to get this atzah, even though there's dew on it, they don't care about the dew. They're just doing it, they wake up early in the morning in order to not take time from their work day. That she says on the top, Anche Tiberia Baale Melacha Hayu. They were workers, so therefore even though the atzah has dew on it, it's not going to be makshir the fruit. Last halakha that he said, umistapegin be'alontit, mayhi. What is the case? Netanya, we have a braita. Mistapeg adam be'alontit. A person is allowed to dry himself, as she says, on Yom Tov and on Shabbat. Let's say he took a cold shower on Shabbat. So he's allowed to dry himself with a towel. We don't choshesh that he might come to squeeze it out. Umaniha b'chalon. And then he's able to place it, after he finishes, by the window. Velo yimserena le'ulayirin. But you should not place it to the ballanin. Those are the workers in the bathhouse. Why? Mipenesha hashudin aloto davar. Because you can't trust those guys. Those guys will take the towel that's wet, and they'll squeeze it. So you can just leave it by the window, but do not give it to the attendants of the bathhouses. That she says, aloto davar, sahita. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, av mivi'a biyado letoch beto. He says you can even bring the towel home. Now, obviously, we're talking about in a place where there's an Eruv, or Yom Tov, as we said. Now, that she says, ve'en choshishin shema yishkach v'yishot. Which means we don't make him drop it down immediately by the window. He can walk home with it, and we don't suspect that the guy's going to squeeze it in the interim. Amar Rabba Barav Huna. Lo shanu ela lemalot. Aval. I'm sorry, we're talking about finished. Now wait. So therefore, the hadush of Rav Hananya ben Akavya was what? That in Tiberia, he allowed them to dry themselves with aluntit on Shabbat, and he was not choshesh for any laws of sechita, meaning he was mekel for them.
Did he let them take it home?
It doesn't say that if he let them take it home. But over here he says he allowed them just to dry themselves. After the lechitza, he wasn't choshesh. Doesn't say that he wasn't
Like
Rabbi Shimon was more mekel. He let them even carry it home
and leave it with the balanit.
No. Everybody reads loyim sedin olayin. The question is, could you take it home and flip it by the window? So Rabbi Shimon said, "They're gonna leave by the window. If there's an eruv, take it home. No problem." So the Rabbi Hananya was mekel. You could draw yourself. We're not gonna suspect at all for sechita. Okay, now we go to the back to the din of the Mishnah. Now we learned in the Mishnah, we talked about the Gezustra case. What was the Gezustra case? That's the ledge coming off the balcony, and you want to draw water, so we said either make walls going up or walls going down, right? And then you stick the bucket through the walls, and that's considered a shut yachid, and you have no problem drawing the water up. Okay, we have the pictures. That would be picture number... we had it earlier. That's in the 280s, all the way back. I think you know the picture already. Yeah, something in the 280s, yeah. 282 was the picture in your books, where you see exactly how you're making that box, right, on the bottom. Okay, we actually had a picture yesterday, closer.
No?
310 has it. Okay, good. 310 is the picture that we want. You see, you have a box on the bottom, and you have a box on the top. What are you doing there to make it in a shoot? So the Gemara says, Amar Abba Barafuna lo shanu ela limalot. This mechitza that we allowed you to place on the gezustra, that's only a heter in order to fill water, meaning you need to get water from the water that is below. Aval lishpoch asur. But if you want to pour water through the hole back into the water on the bottom, that's going to be asur. Ashi aval lishpoch shofchin, meaning dirty waters. Benekev lemaim asur, because the water is going to travel past the walls, which means when you pour the water down, so it goes into the water, and it just keeps on traveling. So it's as if you're pouring the water outside the Rishut Hayahid area. When you're drawing up, you're only taking the water that's underneath the walls. So then when you go straight up, when you pour it down, the water moves outside, so it's as if you're pouring it outside. So comes the Gemara and says, so again, so what is he doing? So you're motzi from the Rishut Hayahid into a Karmelit. That's the Isur over here. Rabbinical, but it's soon nonetheless. Now, even though it's not direct, meaning it's not like you're throwing it directly, you're throwing it into the bottom, that would be considered kohol. It's coming from your strength. But over here, the hakamim are being osin nonetheless. Matkif la'arav shizbi. So Rav Shizbi asked the question. V'chi ma ben zeh le'uka. In the next Mishnah, we're going to learn about an uka. Uka is like a ditch that's in a Hatzer. We actually have a picture of it, just so you can get an understanding, at 311, which is a picture for the next Mishnah. You have an enclosed Hatzer, and you have an Ukah, you have a little hole in the ground. So the Mishnah is going to teach us, it is permissible to take your dirty waters, pour it in that Ukah. Now even though it might overflow, and the overflowing might, you know, spread out into the Rishut HaRabim now, it might, you know, drip out into the Rishut HaRabim. So they're saying that ukah is permissible. So just like you tell me ukah is permissible, meaning I'm not worried about the spillage from the ukah into the shoot of the beam. So what am I worried about over here? Because that's kohol. It's not direct. So the same thing over here. I'm pouring the waters back into the yam. Now on its own, it's going past that. So why do you tell me that that's asur? What to do to ukah? Let's read Rashi together. Ma ben zeh le'ukah. Nitnam be'maditin. As I told you, it's the next Mishnah. Chatzir shepetucha shepechuta me'arba amot. Okay? You have a chatzir that's less than 4 amot in its measurements. We will see why that is the shi'ud. All chatzir is less than 4 by 4 amot. En shofchin letocha mayim b'shabbat. You can't pour water into that chatzir. Ela imken asu la'uka. What is an uka? Guma, to ditch, ma'azeket satayim. That carries... that can hold a satayim, 2 se'ah of water. Ve'tani alan, the Gemara is going to explain, afal pi shenitmal'ah uka me'be'od yom, even if the uka is filled with water going into Shabbat, doesn't matter. Shofim la'mayim b'Shabbat. You could pour water in it on Shabbat. Ve'afal pi she'amayim yotzin emenu l'sut rabim.
even though for sure there's going to be spillage, it's going to overflow into the Shut Tanavim. So why is that mutar? And the case of the Gizustra is Asur. Gemara's answer, Hane Taime, Vane Lo Taime. Which means, literally, Taime means ends. One ends, these end, these don't end. Meaning Rashi. Hatam Taime Maya. Hamayim Asim Nechalot Ulabliya Bekarka. There, in the case of the Uka, the water usually is going to get swallowed up into the ground. The water that you pour out, before it even gets to the Reshut HaRabim, it's going to get swallowed into the ground of the Hatzer. Hilkach, ki shafich, when you pour into this Ukah, ada'atad de libli'u beduchtayu, kashafich. Your intention is, that you're assuming it's going to get swallowed up into the ground, into the Ukah, into the ground of the Hatzer itself. So your kavanah is really not to, for it to go past the Hatzer into the Reshut HaRabim. However, v'inafik levar, and if it happens to trickle out outside, lav machshavato lehachehu. His machshavah was not for that. His intent was really what? He wants the water to be confined for the Hatzer itself. V'lo netkayma machshavato. And therefore, even if it happens, that wasn't his machshavah, v'shari. Da'afilu ichaven, because even if, let's say, he had kavana, isur mamash leka. It's also not isur mamash. Why? Da'bir shuti ya'id shapich. Because he's throwing it into the Reshut HaRabim and it's trickling by itself into the Reshut HaRabim. So therefore, even if he would do it mifir with kavanah to get it to the Reshut HaRabim, he's not pouring it into the Reshut HaRabim. He's pouring it into the Hatzer. From the Hatzer, it's trickling into the Reshut HaRabim. That, at worst, would be Isur Rabbanan. So in the case where if you'd have kavanah, it'd only be Isur Rabbanan. The rabbis are not going to forbid that when your kavanah is that you want it to remain in the Hatzer, because you're assuming it's going to all get swallowed in the Hatzer. So in the case that it happens to trickle out, okay, lava da'te, lo it kaven, so therefore mutar. Aval, ha'acha medai yadad evadai nafeh velo taimeh. Here you know, the water definitely is going to travel outside the Reshut HaRabim area into the Karmelit of the water. That's the nature of the water. When you pour it down the walls of the Gezustra, you know the water is not ending there. You know from the onset that you're putting the water from the Reshut HaYachid, true, into the Reshut HaYachid beneath, but on its own it's going to definitely go into the stream of the Karmelit. Therefore, in that case, we're more mahmir. That's Hani Taime, Hani Lotame. Ika de Amre. We have another version. Amar Rabba Bar Ravuna. Lo Tema Lemalo Tu Deshari. Lishpoch asur. Don't say that only to fill from the gezustra is mutar and spilling is asur. Don't say that. Ela lishpoch nameshare. Even pouring out into the gezustra's walls is permissible. Amar Rav Shizbi peshita haini uka. So here Rav Shizbi comes along and says, of course, that's the same law of uka, which means now we're going the other way, just like uka. Didn't we allow you to put the water in a filled ukah even though it's going to spill into the Reshut HaRabim? And what was the logic? It's kohah, meaning it's not direct. So they put the same thing over here. Your kohah put it into the waters, and now it drew it by itself. It's just like ukah is mutar. Of course it should be mutar by the case of the Gezustra. So Gemara says, you know why I had to tell it to you? Because you would have thought, hani taimeh v'hani lo taimeh, kamash ma'lan. Because you might have made the difference. No, here your kavanah, you want it to cease in the Hatzer, and therefore when it goes out, it just happens, you know, against your will, you want to have kavanah for that, but here you knew it, so therefore you might have made a chiluk. Kamash malan, according to this version, don't make the chiluk. Bottom line, it's koho. Bottom line, it's happening indirectly, so just like indirect is mutar by the uka, it's also mutar by the gezustra, meaning you could pour it back into the water, even though it's definitely going to travel further into the Karmelit. Comes the Gemara further. Let's just read Rashi. Afilu l'shpoch na meshare. You can even pour in Rashi. De'iyu lo echpate de lipku libere'e. He doesn't care if it goes further. When the guy's pouring the water back in echpato, then it goes further. He just wants to get it into the out of his domain. Aval chaser petucham arba'am, pe'otam arba'amot. You see, by the case of the ukah, the reason why you need an ukah, which is, well, you ask yourself a question. So then why do you need an ukah at all in that case? Just throw it into your hatser and let the hatser let it go out on its own. Just like you're letting it over here. Now, in a hatser, you don't want the water to go into your hatser because it's going to property. It's going to dirty your hatser. Or you want to put dirty waters in your hatser? So then we don't know. You got to put an ukah there. Let it go into the ukah to drain it exactly. Then if there's spillage, right, we're not going to be, the overflow, we're not going to be makpid. Right? So that she just concludes and says, in that one, shelo yilech lechet hatzero, hilkak be'a ukah, de'v'ukah nihale de'libde'u. Like you want it to get swallowed into the ukah. Okay, so that's that. Comes to give it up further. V'ken shtegez ustra'ot. So what do we say with the shtegez ustra'ot? There are two gez ustra'ot, one on top of the other. Okay, so we learned that if one of them has the walls and one of them doesn't, both of them are asurot. Now, for sure, the one that doesn't have the walls is asur. We understand. There's no, how's it going to get into the water? Even the one that has the walls, where you just got to drop a bucket in the shuti ahid, is also asur. So Gemara is going to analyze the scenario. Comes again, Gemara says, Amar avuna amar rav, lo shanu ela bismucha. As we learned earlier, the only time we're saying that it's asur is if they are close to each other. Rashi, bismucha, she'ena rechoka mitachtona b'meshek hakota arba'at tefachim. Exactly. Which means, so long as they're within four tefachim of each other, meaning they're not parallel, you have to remember, one is higher than the other, but if you draw a line, you know, from one area to the other, if it's within four tefachim, then both of them are going to be asur. More than four tefachim, no. Now, continue. So comes the Gemara and says, "Lo shano ela bismucha, aba bemufleget." Oh, but if it's more than four tefachim away, elyona muteret. Then the elyon becomes mutar. Now let's analyze why. So the Gemara, well, it has the walls, okay. But what do you mean? Over here, we're talking about there's two domains over here that are basically close to each other. Yes, the second domain is four tefachim away. Now he uses his reshut, which means the only way that the tachton can access water is he takes his bucket and he throws it into the elyon. So now since he's using the other guy's reshut and they did not make an eruv amongst each other, it should be asur for both of them. Because when you have a shared property, which it's being shared over here without an eruv amongst them, so both of them should be asur. So the Gemara says, Ve'rav le'tameh. This is going according to that reason that we learned earlier. The Amar Rav, En Adam Osir al Havero Derech Avir. Since he only is using it through the airspace, and it's four tefachim away, which we said, you have to throw it four tefachim to get to the, to access it. So therefore the Hiddush of Rav is what? That you cannot Osir, or you only Osir when you traverse it, when you walk through a guy's property. But using airspace, like in this case, you have to throw the bucket, that is not going to be Osir. Therefore, and Yonah would be Mutar tachtona asur. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abba Amar Rav Chiya v'Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yoshaya. The Gemara says now in the name of Rav Yoshaya, Yesh Gezel b'Shabbat. Now we have to see what this means. Meaning Yesh Gezel b'Shabbat. You could there's a concept of stealing on Shabbat. The churba mahzir lebe'alim, and a churba meaning a destroyed or ruin goes back to its original owner. Cryptic statement. So let's read that sheet. Yes, gezel b'shabbat the churba mahzir lebe'alim. Hashta salka datak. At this point, we're thinking the hachik amar mutar ligzol b'shabbat reshuyot ulishtamish ba. You could steal the shiyot, meaning, not actually stealing, meaning it belongs to somebody else to the shoot, but still, you could use them on Shabbat. Even though it's not your shoot, it's okay, you could use them. Let's see. Be chorbatos shel chaviru asimuchalo. Remember we learned we had cases where a guy has a house and right next to him is a hurba. So we said he can go from his back window, he can mishalchel down, and he can use it. Now, even though it doesn't belong to him, yeshkezel b'shabbat. It's okay. You can use that property, it's as if you're making it your own. Ki hechi diragil ba b'chol. I mean, just like during the week he uses it. Since the owners do not really use the ruin, which means just like a gazlan, when he steals something, it so to speak becomes his, so too, by your usage during the week, so you become a gazlan for the Shabbat, meaning it's considered yours, and therefore, you could carry back and forth from it on Shabbat. That's what it means, gazlan. Meaning, he's like a gazlan that takes something that's not his and uses it. Here also, it's legal gazlan. We're not taking anything, usage it. Just like I'm using it during the week, I use it now, no problem, and it allows me to use it. Now, continue to see first white line. V'churba ma'zir le'ba'alim. But the churba, the ruin, goes back to the owner. And that seems contradictory. So that she continues, mashma, al-korho, against his will, isur Shabbat mahzira lebe'alim. That once Shabbat comes, it goes back to the original owner, v'sarik lahzira, ve'en kinuyalo. Alma asur l'shtamesh. So right away the Gemara is going to ask, make up your mind. If you tell me, din gezel v'shabbat, so I own it, meaning I can use it. Then you tell me, no, Shabbat, it goes back to the original owner. That means, I can't use it unless I make an iruv. So make up your mind. So comes the Gemara and says, ha gufa kasha. Now gufa kasha means when you have a statement and it intrinsically in the statement contradicts each other. The Gemara says, amat yesh gezel b'shabbat. You told me that what? There is the concept of gezel on Shabbat. Alma, the implication is what? Kane, meaning he's kone. Meaning you could use it. It's considered yours. But then you told me, v'hadar tane, I'm reading the Haggadah Bach. V'churban ma'zir le'ba'alim. That on Shabbat, the churba goes back to the original owners. What does that sound like? Alma, lo kanya, tzmashva, you're not gonna. So make up your mind. So Gemara says, haki ka'amar, yesh din gezel b'shabbat. There is din gezel b'shabbat. Ketzad, de churba ma'zir le'ba'alim. Which the Gemara is saying that yesh din gezel, meaning you're a gazlan. And what's the need of a gazlan? He has to return. So to yesh din gezel b'shabbat, that even though you use this item all week long, don't think on Shabbat you're considered a gazlan now. Therefore, it's not yours. And therefore, what do you got to do? You have to return it to the owner. What does he return it to the owner? You have to make an eruv. The only way you're going to be able to carry in this area now is through eruvin. So when it said yesh din gezel, we thought it meant that what? That you could be a gazlan, meaning you could take it. No. But I was saying, no, the din of gezel applies, meaning you're a gazlan. What's the din of a gazlan?
Give it back.
You gotta give it back. Which means even though you used it all week long this year, because the owners, they don't use a ruin. Doesn't matter. Once Shabbat comes, shared properties you cannot carry in the property unless you make an eruv with the original owner. Good? So comes again what it says. Look at the second wide line in that sheet. Yesh, din gezel. Din ha-shabbat gezelah nohek. Right, the law of returning the gezelah. Birshut shal shabbat de-chulma, ma'asir gezelah ba'alim, v'asur ha-shtamesh ba. Good. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabba, umudbinan ashma'tin. We asked a question on this from our Mishnah. V'chein shtei gizustra'ot. Zu lema'la mizu. What did we say? You have two gizustra'ot, one on top of the other. Okay, so we said that why they osed each other. Right? Therefore, it's asur for even the top guy to draw water. So comes the Gemara and says, V'iyamat yesh din gezel b'shabbat. If you're telling me that there is the law, you mean din gezel, on Shabbat, amai asurot. Why should both of them become asur? What's the question? That's she. Har reshuta de'elyonahi. Which means the reshut goes back to the elyon. V'tachtona zu shelo kedin mishtameshet ba'behol. V'afidu achi kevan de regila ba asra'ala. Which means, Once you're telling me, Mr. Tahtona, yeah, you're using it during the week. But bottom line, you're a gazlan. Meaning on Shabbat, you're using it unlawfully. So if you're using it unlawfully, so get out of here. You don't know say to me. Get out of here, which means you if you want to carry, you're going to have to make it. But why should you all say to me? Which means the Hurba guy, for example, he gets his rishut back on Shabbat. So just like the Hurba guy gets it back, the top guy in the Gezustra should also get it back, which means you're using it unlawfully. Like, even though you we let you use it, let's say, during the week. But the Gabeh Shabbat, it comes back to the Alyon, meaning you're not part of me. So therefore, why should I become Asur?
So Kazi Gemaran says, Amar Rav Sheshat, Hakam Ma'askinan, Kegon Shasum Ha'isab Shutafut.
As we learned earlier, that this case over was talking about that they were partners in these mechitzot of the Elyona. Which means the Elyona cannot tell the Tahtona, get out of here, you're a gazlan. Not a gazlan, we mean, we went partners on this item, and therefore on the walls. And therefore, unless they make an eruv amongst themselves, they're going to be
Oser
each other. Because he does have access. He's not a guy using somebody's property unlawfully. You're right. If somebody uses his property, trespasser, does not Oser me on Shabbat. It's my hased. Because a guy walks into my hased unlawfully, you're going to make him Oser me? This guy's not a trespasser in the Tahtona. Why is he not a trespasser? Because he went partners in the walls themselves. So if you went partners in the walls themselves, but now that Tahtona is Asur. Because he had legal rights to it. So comes the Gemara and says, oh, if that's the case, Gemara says, Ihache ki asur le tahtona name. Why then did you give me the case only when the Elyon made walls and the Tahton didn't? You can give me the other case as well. Let's say the Tahton made walls also. Yeah, also. Which means, once you tell me shutafut, you don't have to limit the case. You can tell me your case where the Elyon made walls and the Tahton made walls. And since there's shutafut over here, they'll say to each other. It's master that when you gave me this specific case, you only meant this case. Shutafut is a problem. Yeah. Mashma, that if they both made mechitzot and there was a shutafut over there, it's mutar for the Elyon, for example. Why? Why should that be? If they made shutafut, it should be osir in all cases. So the Gemara says, Kevan da'asu le'tachtona, galui da'ata de'ana bahadach lo nihali. Because the explanation is, once he makes for the Tahton guy makes, what is he telling the Elyon? I don't need yours anymore. So therefore, even though they made it b'shutafut, what he's telling him, I'm out. Exactly, he's relinquishing. So why? How do you know he's relinquishing? His actions speak louder than any relinquishing. He put mechitzot. Once you put mechitzot, what are you saying? Alright, true I went partners with you in that, but you know what? I don't need you anymore. So therefore, you can go on your own. I'll go on my own, and therefore he's not going to be also. So the only case where the partnership is going to be a problem is where the Elyon did it and the Tahton didn't. Because they're right, one or the other. Because there they need each other. So comes Rashi. Rashi says, I hache ki asu. Bene Tahtona le Tahtona. Im yesh laem shutafut be'alyona, nami asle'ala. Even when they made one for themselves on the bottom, but if they have a shutafut in the alyona, they should also be osir the alyon. Answer, galiyue, galiyad da'ata tahtona le'alyona de salkan nafshe be'shabbat mine. Why? Ta'mechitza zu enu nasit ela leheter shabbat. Jeez, they only made the what do you need the walls for? You don't need the walls for Tuesday. You need the walls for Shabbat. Since they have their own walls, I don't need you for Shabbat. So see you later. You're on your own. Therefore, the Elyon is mutar. And now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, now we go back to the case of the Uka, which we discussed earlier. Hatser shehu pechuta me'arba amot. Okay, you have a hatser that is less than 4 amot. Now this is not discussing halachic 4 amot in the sense we're discussing over here a size that can contain a certain amount of water. Therefore, if you have a chatzer that's relatively a small chatzer, it's less than 4x4 square for our purposes, and shofchin betocha mayim b'shabbat. You can't pour water into that chatzer, even though it's a reshut yachid. It's gated and all that. Why not? Rashi. And shofchin betocha mayim b'faresh la b'gemara. Okay, what does he mean? So I'll tell you what he means. Because he's concerned that what? It's going to go out. Since it's a very small area. Right? So it doesn't contain the water in its own Reshut Yahid. So there's going to be spillage into the Reshut Rabbim. So therefore, as if you're going from Reshut Yahid to Reshut Rabbim. Good. However, there's a way to kosher it up. Ela im ken asula uka mahaziket sataim min hanekev ulmata ben mibachutz ben mibifnim. Which means, from the lip of the uka, the opening, to however deep it goes, if it can hold sataim amount of water, so then already, even though the hatzer is very small, but the uka, which is like a, it comes like a ditch, a reservoir, so therefore it can catch the water, it's okay. Let me give you the words now. Ela in ken asula uka, mahaziket sataim, min hanekev ulmata. From the nekev, from the hole to the bottom. Ben mebachutz min mebifnim. Hidush, doesn't matter where you put the uka also. Whether you put the uka in the hatzer itself, or you put the uka right outside in the reshut rabim. Which means, like you see the picture in the 311, you see Oka in the Hatzir itself, or you see Oka outside. There's a big difference, but when the Oka is outside, it's Reshut Rabim. So what are you talking about? If it's Reshut Rabim, how could you, why are you throwing the water into the Oka, or into the Hatzir, it's going to go into the Reshut Rabim, it's into the Reshut Rabim area. So the Rosh Gemara says, Ela, Shemebachut Sarich Likmor, Mebifnim En Sarich Likmor. If it's inside, you have no problem. Leave it open. But if it's outside, you have to put wood on top of it. You have to cover it. Meaning, if you put a cover on it, then it's going to be permissible. What does this exactly do, this cover? We read Rashi. Satayim. See Rashi, Satayim? B'gemara mefaresh ta'ama v'sha'ura. Gemara is going to say, where they get the shi'ur of Satayim for an uka. The halal, the cavity holds two se'ah. Ben mibifnim, ben shagasa le'uka betoch ha'aser, ben shagasa b'reshut rabim samuk la'aser. Whether he made it inside or outside. Ela shemibichutz sarich likmor. Mazel likmor, lechasot piya b'nisarim. You cover the top with boards. Because that turns the ditch in the Reshut Rabim to a Mekom Petur. Because it's not now accessible to the Reshut Rabim. It's really covered. So therefore, when the water drips from your chaser, right? It's a small chaser, so there's going to be an overflow of water, spillage. It's going to go from your chaser into the Oka. Not considered going to the Reshut Rabim. It's going to consider into a Mekom Petur because of the, we call those kormot.
Don't you have to uncover it?
No. It just slides right in. Right. It's on top of it, but it just slides right in. It's not in your property at all. But the kemira is going to cause it to be a...
It'll be right on the border.
Right. So I explain it. Right. On the border. Right on the border. Right into the chudar. Now, we explain it. He says like this. The guma, if it's not three tefachim deep, the one that's in the Reshut Rabim, so then it's already considered like the Reshut Rabim. This is batel to the Reshut Rabim. Okay? Now, and even if it is three deep, if it's not, let's say, 10 wide, and it's 4 wide, so then it has a din of a Karmelit. And it's also going to be asur to go from the Reshut Yahid to the Karmelit. So therefore, you cover it. What does the covering do? He explains. Now that it's covered and open to the Reshut, it has a deen of Hurei Reshut Yahid. So we have protrusions that come out of the Reshut Yahid on considered right because it's covered. So therefore it's like level with the ground of the Chatzir. So it's Hurei Reshut Yahid. Hurei Reshut Yahid is Reshut Yahid. So that's what the covering is making. It's turning it into a Reshut Hayahid.
So it's open a little bit to the Reshut Yahid?
Well, you see it. You see that it's opened a drop.
Right.
Right? No, you're pouring it to your chaser, and it's just spilling underneath. Yeah, it just spills into the underground. It's beneath the ground.
Right.
Correct. Correct. That's the point. Now, the Ritba says, even if the uka that's in the Rishut Rabim is 10 deep, 4 wide, now that's a full-fledged Rishut Yachid. Still, he says you have to cover it with boards. Why? So he writes, yeah, because you have to make a hashash that if you leave it uncovered, it might get filled up with rubbish and stuff. And what's going to happen? Once it becomes a little higher, now it turns into a karmelit. Now you're going to have a problem. So the covering just keeps refuse from filling it up to turn it into a different nishut, when it has the shiut of the nishut yachid. In any event, that's the din. Now we go continue the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer bin Yaakov Omer. Bib. Bib is like a sewer or a drain where you pour, you know, the dirty waters. Bib shehu kamur. Arba amot birshut rabim. So it's kamur, it's covered, has the wood on it. Four amot in the reshut rabim. Shofchim netocho mayim b'shabbat. You could pour water into it on Shabbat. Rashi. Bib, haritz, a ditch. Hasui lekaleya shofkin shabbatzir reshut rabim. It's used in order to catch the spillage of the chaser, you know, and it drips into the reshut rabim into this item. Shu kamur b'meshik arba amot reshut rabim. Kim le b'arba amot yesh shi'ud li ba'la b'hem satayim mayim sh'adam asui l'stapik b'chol yom. Normally, the normal water usage of a person on a daily basis is bet satayim. That's what Rashi's telling you. That's the normal usage of water. And therefore, a bib that is 4 amot long, wide, so that'll be able to hold the normal amount of daily usage of water. And therefore, shoftim netocho, you could pour into it, meaning you're pouring into your chatzer, and it's going into the bib, which is in the shut rabim, the taime maya, meaning because it's gonna just stop in the bib. It's not gonna go past. Now the iname lo taime, meaning let's say it's not gonna cease. Let's say the water in the bib is already high, and therefore when you're gonna pour your normal usage from the chatzir into this bib on Shabbat, it's gonna overflow. Since normally it just stays in the bib, normally his intention is what? I want it to go from the hatzer into the bib. Now the bib is covered. Once the bib is covered, so we treat it like a reshut yachid, and if we have no problem. I mean, let's say the guy had kavana. He wanted to go from the reshut yachid of his hatzer, and he wants to go into the beam, which is going to overflow definitely into the reshut rabim. He's la besurah d'oraita ika. Hacha de'alav reshut rabim zarik. You didn't throw it in the reshut rabim. You threw it into the beam, which means the beam is the reshut yachid. You went from the reshut yachid to the reshut yachid. Then on its own, it went into the reshut rabim. Iu gufo ela me'elehen yotzin. Hekakilo mechaven shalichet tachayla. So get the sefer av Rashi. Rashi's telling you. Let's get the case again. You have your chatzer. Opening up in front of your chatzer and the reshutim, you have a bib. Bib is like this drain. It's 4 amot. If you cover it up, meaning put the boards on top of it, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is talking over here, mutar, ma mutar. I can empty water in my chatzer, meaning spillage water. The normal spillage of a person in the day is 2 se'ah. That's why they make the shiur of the bib 2 se'ah. Because it'll fill up in the bib, it's not going past that. Right. Rashi comes and tells you, and even if it does go past it, no problem. Why? The chare going from the shut yachid to the shut rabim. No, because since I'm not mechaven for that, right? And even if I was mechaven, it would only be isur to the banan because I'm not doing it direct. So therefore, lo gazru. Okay? That's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I read again in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer, Bib, Shukamur. Covered. Arba amot b'shut rabim, shofkim letocho mayim b'shabbat. V'achamim omrim, afilu gag, even a roof, or chatzer, or a courtyard, me'a amma, amazing, even if it's me'a amma long, the chatzer, lo yishpoch al pi habib, you cannot pour into the bib itself,
Aval shofeku legag v'amayim yurdim labib. What does this mean? Rashi. Let's say your chatzer is 100 amma long. Okay? Hakamim do not want you to pour the water directly into the bib itself. Why? Rashi. Lo yishpok al pi habib. Kilomar, betoch haritz. V'afalgav, v'afalpish yesh orech mikan ad yitziyato me'a amma. Now, if you have a bib in your chatzer, we're talking about, and the haritz is 100 amma, meaning in all odds, it's going to get swallowed before it goes out of the Rishut Rabim. So he says, V'yicholim libala, kevan de begufe kashafich. Since you're pouring it into the bib itself, mekalche lehedya. So there it's direct. When it goes into the Rishut Rabim, it's not coming from Kawah. You pour it into the bib itself. And therefore, ubechowah l'reshut rabim. V'aro'e omer sheshofchim samuch litziato. Which means the guy, when he sees the water coming out into the reshut rabim, he doesn't know that you poured it, you know, in the back. He's going to think you poured it right at the end of the reshut rabim, right at the border. Uba'ed l'fku, because he wants to get rid of them. Kedabar v'gemara gezerah shimo yimlut sinu shepuri mikaliach ma'am shabbat. So therefore, as we're going to see the Gemara. So basically, let's review Hakamim Shita. Hakamim hold, and I read it inside over here, even if you have me'a amma of bib until it outlets into the reshut rabim. Exactly. And therefore the logic would say, what are you worried about? Pour it into the bib, it's never going to get to the reshut rabim. It'll just absorb into the bib itself. So since he's pouring it into the bib directly, the hashash is if it doesn't swallow in the bib, so therefore the water is going to go a strong current because he poured it into the bib itself. Okay. It's not like it's trickling from the hatser into the bib. You're pouring it into the bib itself, it's going to trickle out into the shoot of the bib. So therefore we have a gezerah. No. It looks like you're pouring straight from the shoot of the yachid to the shoot of the bib. However, shofechu lagag. He'll let you pour on the roof itself, right? Indirect. V'amayim yordim labib. And then the water falls into the bib, and then it trickles out. That is, okay, there is no hashash. And the Gemara is going to explain.
It's a difference. It's still going to come out. And the guy's
you need a double
think,
indirect.
No, it's indirect. You're not pouring. We will see. The Gemara will explain. Now, this was talking about bib. We'll see what the opinion of the Hakamim is by in Ukah. We have different dinim, we have ukaz, we have bib, tchavla, what's the difference over here? It's holes that are catching water. The Gemara will explain exactly the nature of the shitot. We're just giving the cases now. Comes the Gemishnah and continues. Hechatzer v'achsadra. Now, what do we say? If the chatzer is four amot, you don't need a bib. Sorry, you don't need a ukah. Because four amot is considered a significant shiur for the water to absorb, let's say, in its own area. So the question is now, let's say the chatzer is not four amot, but in combination with the aksadra, they have a little porch, or a little gallery, they call it. So if you measure the square footage of chatzer plus aksadra, you have four. So the Mishnah says, chatzer v'aksadra, mitztarfin arba amot. Good. They can combine. V'chein shtei diyuta'ot. What does diyuta'ot mean? That's she. Aluyot. Right, second floors, balconies. The chatzir pituha, pehuta, me'arba amot lefnehem. Under the two balconies you have a chatzir. The chatzir is less than four amot. So therefore, the Shigimara says, the Mishnah says, zu keneged zu, next to each other. Miksatan asu uka, u miksatan lo asu uka. Let's say, one aliyah right under it made an uka. Because you need an uka to empty out the water. And the guy next to him, right under him, did not make an uka. So it says, Echa asu uka mutarin, Echa asu uka asurin. So the only guy, meaning the guy right above his uka, he can empty his spillage
right into it.
But the guy next door, obviously, cannot. We will see why. That she says, Miksatan, Bnei achat asu uka b'chatzer, u'bnei achat lo asu. That's simple. Of course, you cannot pour in the chatzer. That's the deen of the Mishnah. You don't have an uka. So we'll see exactly what the case. We will see what the case of the Mishnah is. Now the Gemara analyzes. My Ta'ama. Oh, now we start. You told me what? If it's less than 4 amot, you can't empty water into that chatzer. It's a suit, you gotta make an uka. What's this 4 amot business? And if it's 4 amot, what does it change? Bottom line, the chaura is still gonna maybe go from the chatzer into the Rishit Rabim. So what's the 4 amot business here? So the Gemara says, my tama, amar abba, bepenesh she'adam asui listapek satay mayim bechol yom. First, he's giving you the normal water usage. Normal water usage per day, you use bet satayim of water. Now, be'arba amot, in a 4x4 ama area, adam rotze lezalefan. What is the literally means sprinkle. Why do people sprinkle water into the chatzerot? Because the chatzer becomes very dusty. You have to remember the olden days, they didn't have tiles. So the dirt would constantly rise up. How do you keep dirt from rising up?
You wet it.
You wet it. Very good. So that keeps the water down. So when a person has an area of 4 amot by 4 amot in a chatzer, it's makol hashuv. He holds it in a certain amount of hashivut. And therefore, he wants to keep it nice. Okay. So what does he want? He'll take 2 se'ah of water. That's the normal usage. He'll pour it in his chatzer. And he really wants it to stay there. You know why? Because he wants to keep the dust. Right, to settle the dust down. Let's read Rashi. Adam rotze lezalefan. See the 2 lines at the bottom in Rashi? Shiri'uyai lezalef larbitz afara. To beat the afar down. Shelo ya'ale afka. We're going to learn the Gemara is going to say this is only talking about in the summer months when it's dry. Lematnitin, the kama beberaita. Vechema derotzel lezalefan ina mishafichlu venafkelu lo mitkayma mashabato. Meaning, even if let's say the water does go into the Shuta Rabim, did he want it to go into the Shuta Rabim? No, he's happy. He wants to keep the water in the 4 amot area because he wants to make zinuf to keep the afar down. Now let's go a step further. Let's say the guy bekavana wanted it to go into the Shuta Rabim, it still would only be Isur, Rabbanan, because it's koho. It's not direct, you're pouring it into the Chatzir, and it's just going out. So therefore the rabbi said, when it's 4 amot, meaning a significant shi'ud, that's not wait for Ziluv, you're okay. However, Gemara continues, we turn to the Amud Bet. Pachot midalid, less than 4, shofchan, then already you have a problem. Why? Rashi, pachot midalid, enu ra'uy lezalef, v'shofchan. And therefore, when you're going to pour the water out, what's the kavana? You want to get rid of it. V'chi nafke mekayma machshavato. V'gazu rabbanan ale dil ma'atele meshez zidikabej l'shut rabim. You know what the rabbis were worried? If we allow you to pour the dirty water directly into the chatzin when you want it to go out, you might just go and pour it directly into the Rishut Rabim. So therefore, you know what you have to do in the case where it's less than 4 amot? Uka. What does the uka do? The uka collects the water, 2 se'ah, so therefore it won't roll out. And whatever does roll out, that's okay, because at least you made an uka. Now, read the Shri Gemara. Id avid uka share. Ilo asur. Very good. Yes. So that's the opinion of Rabba. That's the way you understand the 4 amot. Now we go to a shita of the Bizera. Okay. Correct. Now even if the uka was filled from before Shabbat, no problem. Because he already showed his intent what? He wants it to remain in the chatzir. So therefore we're not going to make a gezera that if it's filled from before Shabbat to uka, that you cannot empty out your water. Because by the uka being there, it shows your intent is what? You want it to remain inside. That's only, doesn't matter, but when you, by making the uka, that shows that really your kavanah is to keep it collected inside. Therefore, if it goes out, that already rabbis will not go there, because even if you had kavanah, it's only a sutra banan. So therefore, in this case, where you made a gilui dad, it's okay. Still kohol. This is only a sutra banan. In the case where you're not mitkaven, rabbis will not go there. Rabbi Zera Amar, second reason. Dalir amot taime. Pachot me dalir amot lo taime. New answer. Exactly. This is an inyan of absorption. Which means nothing to do with makom hashuv, how much is worthy to settle the dust. This has got to do with the shi'ud. Rashi, taime. Maya bedalir amot re'uim li bala satayim. Facts. Satayim of water can get swallowed into 4 amot of area. Hilkach, ina me nafke lebalo mekamah mashabato. And therefore, even if it went out, doesn't matter. When you have a 4 amot area, your intention is why it's all going to get swallowed inside. And if it goes out, it's okay. Less than 4 amot, you know it's going out. So therefore, the rabbis were, goes in. So comes the Gemara and says, my benayu, what's the nafka minah between Rabbah and Rabbi Zera? Amar Abaye, arich vekatin ika benayu. If it's rectangular, long and short, it's a rectangle, which means long and narrow. If, let's say, it's not exactly a complete square, if it just has, let's say, the area of 4x4, but in a rectangle, so according to the Shita that says that area swallows water, I don't care what the configuration is. Meaning, according to the Bizera, it's going to swallow. And therefore, even a rectangle is going to be permissible. You don't need an uka. But according to Rabbah, he says, no, makom hashuv. Makom hashuv is only when it's a normal square where there's like normal usage to that area. But when it's a rectangular area, it's a funny configuration. And therefore, you're not interested in keeping the dirt down because you're not interested in the area. And therefore, when you pour the water, your intention is what? To get rid of it. And therefore, in this case, you still would need an uka. So that would be the nafka mina de arich vekatin. Right? An 8x2. Exactly.
There are 16x1.
Or 16x1. Okay. Very good. You got the point. You got very good. Comes again and says, Tinan. We learned in the Mishnah. Chatzer ve'achsadra mitztarfin ledalar amot. Oh. Now let's analyze. So we say the minimum is 4 amot, correct? We said that the chatzer and the achsadra can be mitztarif. Right, let's say your chatzer is 2 amot, and you gain another 2 amot from your achsadra, so you're okay. So the Gemara says, bishtama the bizera niha. According to the bizera that goes with bottom line area, so I don't care. If I get my area in 2 places, doesn't matter. However, elal rabba kasha. According to Rabbah, it's not a square anymore. Yeah. Which is, we're assuming at this point, you have a chatzer, plus a little area off the chatzer in Aksadra. But it's not considered now a normal squared area. So how can it say that you can mistaref the chatzer with the Aksadra to get the 4 amot? Targemar bizira alibad Rabbah be'aksadra mehalekat of penek kol ha-chatzer kula. Yeah, we're talking about a chatzer. That's 2 amot by 2 amot. And the Aksadra goes around it. Therefore, it is a square, meaning you have 2 amot by 2 amot of chatzer, and around it goes an achsadra of 2 amot by 2 amot.
Like
so it's a square, a strip, yeah. Exactly, a strip that goes all the way around. So therefore, in that case, in Echanameh, it's considered makom hashuv, and therefore, it's ra'ui for ziluf, therefore, you don't have to put a uka, tashema, braita, chatzer, She'en ba dalir amot al dalir amot. Okay. En shofchim letokam mayim b'shabbat. Now it says in the Braita, dalir amot al dalir amot. That sounds like we're discussing over here. Square. If it doesn't have dalir amot al dalir amot, it's no good. If it has dalir al dalir, it's okay. So the Gemara says, bishtama lirava niha. According to the Rava that holds the configuration of Makom Hashuv as a square, that's why it's saying Dalet al Dalet. El Rabbi Zera Kasha. Why does it say Dalet al Dalet? That's not the Shiur. It could even say, like you said, 8x2. Why does it say Dalet al Dalet? Amar Lecha Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera comes along and says, oh, that Braita? Don't ask me from that Braita. Hamani Rabbananhi. That Braita is following the opinions of the rabbis. What is the opinion of the rabbis? Rashi. Hamani Rabbanani? De lo sharu le mishum shi'ur makom beli'at tamayim kedetnan matnitin. Which means, the rabbis, they don't go with the opinion over here of a shi'ur that swallows the water. They don't hold like that. How do we know they don't hold like that? Afilu bib me'ama lo yishpok letucho. Which, because the rabbis of the Mishnah, if you remember when it came to the Bib, even though it's 100 amah long,
yeah, we don't care.
They were involved in gezerot. Their whole issue was, it looks like as if you're throwing from the Rishut Yachid into the Rishut Rabim. Ela ala gag or ala hatzir alma tamayu du mishum zilufu. Ah, let's analyze. Let's analyze again. Let's say it clearly. From the fact that you see the rabbis in the Mishnah were machmir by Abib, that even 100 amma is asur. That shows you they're not involved in swallowing. The shoot of swallowing. Because for sure 100 amma is going to swallow. So let's, they don't have swallowing. So therefore the four amot shi'ur also is not in yan of swallowing. Mm-hmm. What must be the other reason? The other reason we know is zinuf. Yeah. That's the shoe that's ra'i for to keep the dust down. The gabe bib magluda tadekashafiq de la bar zilufu. By the case of the bib, there's no ziluf in the bib. Therefore, you're definitely pouring it into the bib. You want it to go out. Okay, so therefore what? The braita, let's go slow. The braita that said 4x4, that's following the opinion of Rabbanan. And since the Rabbanan hold the inyan of ziluf, as we saw from the shita of Bib in the second part of the Mishnah, therefore the shiur is 4x4. However, because 4x4 is the shiur of Ra'ul Zilu, because it's Makom Hashuv. That's what the Brat said, 4x4. But our Mishnah that said, that didn't say 4x4. The Mishnah's Lashon was, Hasishi Pihuta Me'arba Amot. It didn't tell us configuration. That must be going like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov by Bib, what was his opinion? His opinion was, for Amot, no problem. Implying what? His olinyan was what? Does it swallow or not swallow? So therefore, if you're going with swallowing or not, so therefore, he'll hold also by the case of the Uka, for any which way you configure it. So therefore, let's review what happened there. They brought a braita. The braita said what? If it's 4x4, or less than 4x4, it's asur. Implying what? It's a square. Rabbah. Oh, that's going like Rabbah. Exactly. So the Gemara says, question against the Bizira. So the Bizira says, oh, that braita? Leave me alone with that braita. That braita is following Chachamim. How do I know Chachamim go with the Ziluf business? Because Chachamim in the Mishnah, by the Bib, they said even if it's 100 amma long, you can't throw the water in it. Right. So therefore, they must be going with Ziluf. You go with Ziluf, that thing needs 4x4. The Mishnah, however, I was talking on the Mishnah, Rabbi Zeraf says. The Mishnah must be going to Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov. Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov by Bib said what? If it's 4 amot, you're okay. Why? Because water gets swallowed up in 4 amot. Also, they're going with the shoot of how much gets absorbed. Good. So therefore, by a case of the Hatzir, I don't care what the configuration is. It gets swallowed up in 8x2, it's also okay. So therefore, don't bring me a question from the Braita. The Braita is Rabbanan. I was talking on the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't say 4x4. The Mishnah just said, Sheyesh la arba amot or en la arba amot. Didn't say arba amot al arba amot. Therefore, I'm going on the Mishnah. Therefore, the Inyan is what? The Inyan is absorption. And therefore, absorption is that's the Elazman Yaakov Shita. Now wait, comes the Gemara and says, right, Ziluf equals dust. Comes the Gemara and says, Umay duhke de Rabbi Zera leukmel matnitin ke Rabbi Eliezer in Yaakov. Now already, it's a dohak what you're doing. Meaning, you're telling me that the Mishnah is following Rabbi Eliezer in Yaakov, that the whole reason is absorption. Right, and you're not making it hachamim, it's a doa, because you're making the Mishnah like that. So Amar Abba, well, matnitin kashite. Well, what do you want? He had a problem with the Mishnah. What was the problem? May iriya detani hatsir shu pechuta, litni hatsir she'en ba dalir amot al dalir amot. Which means, from the wordage of the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah say hatsir she'yesh la pachot mi dalid? It should say, Pachot mi dalid al dalid. From the fact that it didn't say dalid al dalid, it's mashma that we don't care about the square. The inyan is the area. Therefore, elalav shmamina to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi shmamina. Very good. So it was the lashon, right? Which means from the fact that the Mishnah said she pehuta, it's mashma an area. Doesn't matter on which side, because if it meant like hachamim, it should have said. My specific size. However, shape, exactly. proportion. However, here it just says pechuta. It's special for the area. So that was the tip-off to the bizera. That what? That it must be the bin Isaac ben Yaakov. So comes Gibran says, Vehamid the sefer bin Isaac ben Yaakov, Reshalav bin Isaac ben Yaakov. Now when it came to the Beeb case, the Mishnah said, Rebin Isaac ben Yaakov Omer, Beeb. Oh, so that's mashma. Until now, it wasn't Rebin Isaac ben Yaakov. If you have to mention his name, that shows you till now we were not talking about Isaac ben Yaakov. So that's a question. So the Gibran says, Kula Rebin Isaac ben Yaakovi. It's all Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Mishnah. The Hasurim Mechsera V'Hachi Ketani. And the Mishnah is missing some words. And therefore read the Mishnah like this. Hatser shehi pehuta midalir amot en shofchim letocha mayim b'Shabbat. Ha dalir amot, shofchim. But if it has dalir amot, it's okay. Sher Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Bi Bakamur Dal Ramot Meshut Rabim, Shofchim Letocho Mayim B'Shabbat. Which means, the reason why if it doesn't have the area of, or if it has the area of four Amot, by four any configuration, you know why it's good? Because Rabbi Eliezer goes according to Shita of Bib, which is the Mishnah is not introducing Rabbi Eliezer as a new shita. It's continuing the first shita of the Mishnah, meaning the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the Mishnah says like this. If you have a chatzer that's less than four, so then you need a ukah. But if it's four, you don't need a ukah. You know why? Sheh Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, by bib, if the bib is four, which means it's a shi'ur of absorption, so therefore it's okay. So just like what he says by bib, he says by the uka, so they by the case of the hatzer. So therefore, the Mishnah according to the Bizah is all the Bili Ezer ben Yaakov. So the reason the Mishnah is absorption comes out according to the Bizah at least, right? Comes the Gemara and says. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omed bib hakamur. Let's analyze the bib case. It was in the Reshut HaRabim. No, it had a...
Starts
with, but goes into the Reshut HaRabim.
With the cover item.
Right, and it has a cover in it, in the Reshut HaRabim. Okay, right in the lip of the Reshut HaRabim to Yahatzeir. It's covered. So he allows you to what? Pour water into the bib of your Hatzeir. As long as it's for Amot. It'll absorb. Even if it doesn't, and it goes out into the Reshut HaRabim, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is not worried. Because your kavanah is really to stay there in the chaser. Now, if the bib is for Amot, the bib, not the chaser, the bib in the Reshut HaRabim area is covered for Amot. Gemara continues. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Bib HaKamur. Bib HaKamur is talking about where you have the drain that's right outside the chaser. It's covered. So that's the din of the Reshut HaYahid. Hiddush is that you can pour into the drain that's in your chatzir, and definitely going to go out. Point is, since it has the area of four amot, by four amot, not exactly that configuration necessarily, but enough for it to drain, that's a time of water, and it's covered, so it's okay. Even though definitely your intent is for it to get it out, because it's definitely going into the bib outside, but it's okay, because it's covered. So comes again what says. Matnitin de lo kahananya. Our Mishnah is not going like Hananya. Well, what does Hananya say? The Tanya, we have a bright. Hananya omer, afidu gag me'a amma. Even if the roof, let's say, is 100 amma long, lo yishpoch, you cannot pour onto the roof. Lefishe'en hagag asui leblowa. Because roofs are sloped, and therefore it's not made for absorption. Ela lekaleyah, it's only made for running down. Rashi, matnitin de lo kahananya del dide b'chatzer shad. In a chatzer he'll matir. However, begag asur gagin shlahen lo ayu mishupain, they were not sloped. Ela halakin ke'en aliyot shelan v'tachin otan betiyach ma'aziba.
V'chokekin sinorot dekadak geshamim. They would put like gutters on top of their roofs.
Flat roof?
Yeah, flat roof with gutters. So the water that's on the roof right away goes through the gutters and outside into the shutrabim. V'shofchim ha-shofchim sham. So they, what they would do is they would pour the shofchim on the roof. And therefore it would just go through the gutters and it would take it out into the shutrabim. So it says that what? That our Mishnah cannot be going like Hananya. Right, let's analyze that again. What did Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, that's 4 amot in the Shul Rabim, you can pour lime into it on Shabbat. And Hakamim said, Hakamim said in the Mishnah, even a gag or a chatzir, if it's 100 amah long, you cannot pour into the bib, but you could pour onto the roof, and then the roof will fall into the bib. Now obviously that's not Hananya, because Hananya says on a roof you can't pour at all. I don't care if the roof is 100 amma long, because the roof's purpose is what? Definitely to get the water into the sinorot, into the gutters, in order to get rid of the to water. And therefore that's like pouring into a bib, which means a roof, according to Hananya, is like pouring directly into a bib. With the Hakamim, so that's forbidden. But they allowed you to pour it into a roof. He's going even further that the roof is like a bib. Good. Comes the Gemara and says, Tana, oh, when was this deen over here when you need a ukah in the Mishnah? Bimot hachama. That's only talking about the summer. Ava bimot hageshamim. In the winter, shofech veshoneh ve'enu nimna. Pour as much as you want. Pour again, and don't worry about it. That's she. Gemara further. By Tama, Amarava, Adam rotze shibleu mayim bimkoman. A person wants the water to get absorbed in its place. Rashi, v'lo echpate de lefku. He doesn't care if it goes out. You know why? Tebelav hachi hatzero mitunefet. In the winter, his hatzer is all muddy already. So you know what? In the winter, I don't care what the size of your hatzer is, you don't need a ukah. Because you know what? There we can assume he doesn't care for the water to stay in his hatzer. You know why? Because his hatzer is muddy anyway. So therefore, pour as much water as you want. I can say that, wow, he wants to keep it in his hatzer, lo echpat lo. Therefore, even if it trickles into the shoot of the beam, no problem. Amar le'abaye, ve'hare shofchin, the Adam rotze shibleu. When it comes to shofchin, Rashi, Amar Abaye v'alo v'ale shofchin, first wide line, ha'nishpachim lo lebib aruch. Aha. In the case of the bib, right? Me'a amma. It's 100 amma long bib. She'yesh bo shi'uli balabo. Definitely can get absorbed in the bib. Ve'ka'amru rabban ha'matidin lo yishpoch lahanach. The bib kari shofchin. Yeah, the stuff that you pour into a bib you call shofchin, because normally you throw in the dirty water. Stama. Ularek the hatzer kari mayim. He's just giving you a terminology. When we pour water into a hatzer, we call that water mayim. When you pour water into a bib, we call it shofchin. Because normally, when you pour water in the hatzer, you can use it for ziluf, so we call it mayim. It's positive usage. When you pour it into a bib, it's dirty. Now, what's the question? The question is like this. What are you talking about? You're telling me the whole logic is that we want to get shamim. The water absorbs in there. Oh, you don't care. You let the water stay in there because it's dirty anyway. So in the case of the bib also, why did the Hakamim Mahmir and say that if the bib is 100 amah long, you can't pour directly into the bib? Why not? What do you worry about? It's definitely going to get absorbed within the bib itself. So therefore, just like your matid bimot geshamim, and you're telling me, I don't care what the size is. That what? It's okay, because bottom line, the guy doesn't care for it to stay there. Here also, when the guy's pouring in such a long bib, it should be mutad, because by the water's going to stay in the bib, and even if it does go out, but that's not his kabbana. So comes the Gemara and says, there's a difference. And here's the key. Well, that's like this. V'katari lo yishpoch, amar lehatam demay nihushla. In the case of the hatzer, what are you worried about? Let's analyze it methodically. if you're worried about that, you don't want the water to be in your chatzir, because you don't want it to ruin your chatzir, therefore you want it to go out, that's not the kavanah. Ha mekalkela mekayma. Your chatzir is ruined already. So therefore, for sure, he doesn't mind it to stay in the chatzir itself. Od pam, when you're pouring the water in the chatzir, if you're going to tell me his kavanah is really he wants it to go out into the shutaru because he doesn't want to ruin his chatzir, that's not so. Ha mekalkela mekayma. In the winter, his chatzir already is ruined away. So for sure, he doesn't mind that the water stays. And maybe you'll tell me, you know what the reason why it should be asur? Is because people are going to start saying, oh, look at this. The guy has a pipe that is spilling water into the Reshut Rabim. When they see water coming out of the guy's chatzir into the Reshut Rabim in the winter, they're going to say, oh, look at this. The guy set up a pipe, and he's pouring water into the pipe directly, flushing it out into the Reshut Rabim. If that's what you're concerned about, stam sinorot mekaleihim him. Which means, in the winter, a stam sinor is mekaleih rainwater. And therefore, why should anybody think in the winter that the guy has a pipe set up that he's pouring water directly in the pipe to outlet it into the Reshut Rabim? So basically what the Gemara is saying like this, there's two hashashot you could have over here in the winter, and both hashashot are non-existent. Hashash number one is, maybe the guy's intention is he wants to get the water out. Gemara is saying, no, he doesn't care to get the water out, because bottom line, it's mekalkel anyway. It's mekalkel anyway, it's chatzir, so therefore he doesn't care to get it out. Second gezerah you can have in the case of the chatzir in the winter is what the people are going to see. The manitayin aspect of it. If you let the guy pour water around, you're going to see water just flowing into, because that's chozer v'shoneh, you can put as much as you want, you can see just water flowing into the Reshut Rabim. What's the onlooker going to say? He's going to say, oh, this guy's got a pipe set up, and the water's, he's pouring directly into the Reshut Rabim from the pipe. And therefore the people are going to come to make Isur. So comes the guy and says, no one's going to think that, because in the winter, pipes are always working, because it's always raining. So why should anybody think that he's pouring water? So therefore there's no problem in a chatzer in the winter. However, Rashi.
This is where we see Gezerah.
Right. This is where it's Shayach. Rashi, Hatam. Bimote Geshemim. See it? Lemay Nihush. What should you suspect? Imishum Deni Halud Lefku Mishum Kilkul Hatzero. If you're going to say, yeah, because he wants to get rid of it because this Hatzer is going to get Milkul Kal, Hamikaka Vekaimam Geshemim. It's ruined already. Imishum Shelo Yomru. Vatilim Imad Bimote Hama. See, Rashi tells you? If already a guy can see, oh, you're letting a guy now take a pipe and pour out his stuff into the Reshut Rabim, so he might come to do it in the summer. Now clearly in the summer, when it's less than 4 amot, we don't let you pour water from your chatzir into the Reshut Rabim. So what's going to happen if his chatzir is less than 4 amot? They're going to see water spilling out. So, oh, look at this, you got a pipe set up over there, I'll do it in the summer. Inameh, atelim emar shali lezok behed al Reshut Rabim. He might come along and just make a blatant mistake and say, well, I could pour it straight in the Reshut Rabim. Why? Demali b'tzinur or mali b'Reshut Rabim mamash. What's the difference between a tzinur going into the Reshut Rabim or a mamash? Hay nami lachim etkavin. Le'ha leka le'mehash estam tzinurot b'imotek yishamim mekalchinen. In the winter, the pipes are working anyway with rainwater. V'avnu megishamim ninu. Aval, here's the key. Gabe bib. But by the sewage, b'imota hama, in the summer, even though, let's say, you have 100 amma, right? And therefore, the guy wants the water to, let's say, go in its place. You're still worried that what? The people are going to say that what? You have a pipe over here that's letting out into the Reshut Rabim. So therefore, the people are going to think that it is going to be permissible. And therefore, there's shayach to make a gezerah.
Sorry for the interruption. The quality over the next 2 minutes will not be that well. The quality will improve in 2 minutes or so.
Basically, the Gemara came along and said that what the only problem of the time that you need to make a kuka is in the summer months, because there's your intentions. You definitely want the waters to leave the chatzir. You don't want it to dirty the chatzir. Now, again, we're talking about where it's less than 4 amot. Okay? However, in the winter, even if it's less than 4 amot, since your chatzir is dirty anyway, you don't really care for it to stay in the chatzir, therefore you're okay. So the Gemara says,
And the logic is because Adam rotzishi balu mayim im koman. Because lo echpatlo, if the water stays in its place, the Gemara said lo echpatlo. So why were the rabbis machmir by a bead? When you have a bead that's 100 amah long, and lo echpatlo if it stays in the bead itself, and until still the rabbis will say, because why it might trickle outside into the reshut harabim? Why should they be osir if it's lo echpatlo? So then it should be mutar just like it's mutar b'chatzehi b'mot hayeshanim. The Gemara answers that the problem is that in the winter, you're right, you have no problem. But in the summer, you're going to have a problem in a bib, because why? Because when the people see that water is trickling outside from the bib into the shoot of the beam, they might come along and do it directly. They're not going to make a chiluk between pouring it through a bib or pouring it directly into the shoot of the beam, therefore we're going to be osir. But comes out, a bib be motag geshamim mutar, a hatseh be motag geshamim mutar, for the two reasons, no marita ayin, because a pipe is always flowing water anyway in the winter from the rainwater, and anyway, lo echpatlo for it to stay there. The chidush is, even though in the summer, gam lo echpatlo if it stays there, in the hatzer, in the bib, therefore it should be mutar, it's not, because the flowing, when it's going to flow outside, there is a gezerah that people are going to think that it is mutar to go from the reshutei directly into the reshut arabim. Comes the Gemara of Nachman. Rav Nachman explains the braita a little differently. This is b'med devarim amurim that said b'mot hama about b'mot geshamim shofech v'shoneh. He explains the braita differently. Amar Rav Nachman b'mot geshamim in the winter months uka mahzik satayim. If you have an uka that can hold two se'ah, Noptim no satayim. So fill it up with satayim of water. Mahazik se'ah. If the uka can only fit one se'ah, notnim lo se'ah. So according to this, in the winter, whatever the bor can hold or the uka can hold, that's what you're allowed to pour in it. According to the vida. So therefore when it says in the braita, shofech v'shoneh, it means you can pour and re-pour until you fill the uka to the top. However, bimota hama in the summer, mahazik satayim notim lo satayim. In the summer, if you can hold satayim, no problem, fill it up. Se'ah in notim lo kol ikar. But if you can only fill a se'ah, you can't pour anything in it. Gemara says, bimota hama namim, mahazik se'ah, netiv le se'ah. What do you mean? In the summer, if you can fill a se'ah, put a se'ah's worth. Gemara says, Gezerah dilma ateli ten le satayim. You know what the gezerah is? We're worried that the normal usage of a day is what? Satayim. So we're worried you might come to pour the extra se'ah. And what's the problem over there? That extra se'ah is going to trickle out into the reshut harabim. So comes the Gemara says, Ihache bimote geshim nami legzor. If you're worried about water trickling, so then in this winter, why did you say that if it's a se'ah, you could fill it up with a se'ah. Make a gezerah that might be extra. Gemara says, Hatam, by the case of the winter hatzer, maimi hushla. What isur are you worried about those extra waters going into the shuta rabim? Imishum kilkul. Which means you're worried that what? That is hatzer. It's not going to get ruined. And therefore the guy's intention is what? To get rid of that se'ah of water. Hamika kerevekaima. His chassid already is mitunefin already. And therefore, by the rainwater. And therefore, it doesn't matter. Even if the guys will put a second se'ah in, his intention is not to rid it outside the chassid. He doesn't care if it stays in. Even gezerah shema yomru, because the gezerah, the people are going to come along and say, oh, look at this. The guy's chassid is flowing water, stam sinorot mikalhinhin. Which is in the winter, anytime, sinorot are mikaleya. However, in the summer, what's going to happen? If we allow this guy that has, let's say, a se'ah, what's the word? A se'ah uka, right? Where we say in the summer, you can't even put a se'ah in there. Why? Gezerah that the guy might come pour two se'ah. And if you pour two se'ah, what's going to be the problem? It's going to start to spill into the shoot of the beam. And what's the people going to say? The people are going to say, ah, your guy has over here a a pipe that's being put into the Reshut HaRabim, and he might come to pour it either straight into the Reshut HaRabim. So therefore comes out according to, this is whose opinion? Rav Nachman. He learns a little differently. He learns the Braita differently. When the Braita makes a chiluk between Bimota Geshamim and Bimota Hama, it's as follows. Bimota Geshamim, it doesn't matter how big the aluka is, meaning the uka is haluka, the uka. If the uka is 2 se'ah, fill it up with 2 se'ah. If the uka is 1 se'ah, fill it up with 1. Which means when it says you could fill it and refill it, meaning up to what it holds. Why? Why don't you make a gezerah that if it's only 1 se'ah, I might come to put more? Because what are you worried about? On that extra se'ah, you're worried that it's going to go out into the Reshut HaRabim? First of all, the guy's coming, I don't care if it goes out, it stays in the Hatzer, because it's dirty anyway. You worry about people going to think? They don't think anything. When they see water going out to the Reshut HaRabim, they think it's from the rainwater. So therefore, no problem. But in the summer, only going to be allowed to adjust your Hatzer with a 2 se'ah uka. Because if it's a 1 se'ah uka, there might be overflow. And what's the problem on the overflow? The people are going to say, what are they going to say? No, look at this. The guy's putting his water through a pipe into the Reshut HaRabim in the summer, therefore he might come to do it directly. So it's a different understanding of the Braita as Rav Nachman understands it. Sorry. Amar Abaye says, Hilkach, Afilu Korva, Afilu Kurayim. Which means once you're telling me in the winter that you're not worried, so why'd you limit me to two se'ah? Which means in the winter, it should be permissible to pour up to kur, which is 30 se'ah, or kurai, which is 60 se'ah, which means so it doesn't matter how big the oka is. Which means the point is, why'd you limit me up to 2 se'ah? If you're telling me that the guy's kavanah is what? For it to stay inside anyway because it's muddy, and there's no gizera of what they're going to think that it... You put a pipe to let it out because it's raining anyway. So that doesn't make sense. He's arguing on this logic because then you should not make a gezerah more than a satayim. Last part of the Gemara. That's it. That's his question. He's questioning. He knocks out of Nachman for this question. Right. According to understand, there should be no difference. According to understand, it's very good. Because when it said, pour as much as you want. Yeah, pour 60 se'ah. We don't care in the first understanding. What do you mean? You're telling me pour up until the capacity. Why until the capacity? Right. Comes the Gemara and says, okay, let's get the case again. We had the last case in Mishnah. You had two diyuta'ot, let's say second floor balconies. And it's open up to a chatzer. And under one of them you have an uka. So obviously the chatzer is less than 4 amot. And under another one you do not have a uka.
Same
chatzer. So the Mishnah said, the diyuta that has the uka underneath it can use it, emptying water, meaning into it. But the other diyuta cannot.
They're next to each other, not opposite.
They're next to each other. They're next to each other. Correct. Bechin diyutot zu keneged, zu keneged zu. Well, it's mashma.
Two upper stories are opposite each other.
Oh, opposite each other. Okay, yes. Mashma alakami says. It says keneged. Keneged, so it's like this. Okay, facing, that makes more sense. Because they're facing each other, so therefore,
there's less than 4 amot
in between them, right. And you have the uka on one side, not on the other side. Okay, now you stand corrected. Okay, it's clear. Okay. Amar Abba. So Rabba comes and says, Hadush na Mishnah now. Afilu irbu. Even if the two diutaot, I mean the two balconies on both sides, they made an eruv chaserot, and therefore the chaura, it's permissible for them to both carry from their house into the chatzir beneath them. And therefore, technically, what's your problem? Let them carry their buckets of dirty water from their house to the chatzir, to the uka on the other side, and pour it into the uka. Still, it is asur. So the Gemara wants to understand this. Amar Abaye Maitama. What should be the isur over here? Which means, if there's an eruv, let the guys on the other side that are not next to the uka walk down their buckets to the uka and pour it in. The chatzer you can carry. Because if you're going to say, when you have an uka now that's being used by, let's say, two residents, each guy's got 2 se'ahs worth of dirty water, so now already you can't let somebody else in on the action of the uka, because now you're going to have, let's say, 4 se'ah of water, and the uka only holds two, and therefore the water is going to go into the shoot of the beam, so you're going to have a problem. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ve'atanya, do we learn the braita, ahatni uka, whether you have an uka, ve'atni gistera, gistera is like a broken piece of kediheres, berecha is like a pool of water, ve'areba is like a little bowl of, that holds water. All these items over here, I'm sorry, areba calls it a small boat. Okay, it also can hold water, that's the point. And all these items you put in the hatzer in order to catch the shofchin, right? And they can hold two se'ah. But what does the braita say? Even if they're filled water, like we learned earlier, it doesn't matter if they're filled from before Shabbat. Once you have the ukah, or for that matter, any of these receptacles that can hold water, you can continue to fill it up on Shabbat. And what was the logic over here? Because once you have the ukah, your kavanah is not for it to go outside. You make kavanah is to pour it in the ukah itself, which means it's like the ukah is more like zecher for Shabbat. Now that's the point. Which means the ukah is more like a hekir. And therefore, once you have an ukah, to make it up, Abraham explains, once you have an ukah over here, so I'm not worried that you're going to come down and throw it into the Shittur Abim directly. I got the ukah there. So you put, whatever it's going to go into, but it doesn't matter. Well, we're worried that you might go direct. You're not going to go direct. So therefore, what are you telling me when you have two diyutot? They made it amongst themselves. Only one side can use, the other side can't. Why not? Oh, you're going to be spillage. Let there be spillage. Doesn't matter. Once the ukah can hold two se'ah, I'm not worried, even if it's from before Shabbat. So he goes, Ela itmar, haki itmar. If you want to learn it, learn it like this. Amar Abba, lo shanu ela shelo irvu. Ah, the case is talking about where they did not make an iruv amongst the two diutaot, aval irvu, but if they made an iruv, mutari. Now it can be mutar. So Gemara asks, v'chilo irvu, ma'itamalo. If they didn't make an iruv, what's the problem that you have? Which is the kavanah of animal. It's not the overflow. So what are you worried about? In the case of an eruv, when there's no eruv, you can't carry from the house into the chatzir. Okay, but only that direction is going to be asud. But let's say things that are in the chatzir already, it's mutad, even if there is no eruv. So therefore, why would we be concerned if there is no eruv? Why can't the other side not use the ukah, meaning not going from the house into the chatzir. But let's say they had a bucket already of water in the chatzir itself. The chavrach, even without an eruv, it's permissible. You don't need an eruv for that case. Amar Rabbah. Okay, now we're discussing the case of shtei diyutaot. They are keneged each other. There's an ukah on one side, there's not an ukah on the other side. The Mishnah said that the diyutah, the balcony that has the ukah next to it, can use it on Shabbat, while the other diyutah on the opposite side cannot. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Abba Afilu Irbu. Even if both diyutaot made an eruv amongst themselves in the Hatzer, still is forbidden for the other side that is far away. So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, my Tama. Well, what's the reason? Either Mamishum Nefisha de Maya, because maybe you'll tell me, because bottom line, true they can access the ukah, but since you have two residents now, they're going to go put two satayim in the ukah, so you're going to have a definite overflow. So the Gemara says, so what? Whether we have an ukah, v'achati gistra, or let's say a broken piece of pottery that can hold water, berecha, a pool, v'areba, a small boat, all these things have in common what? They can hold water. And it's in the chatzer. Even though they're filled with water from before Shabbat, you could put more water them into Shabbat, meaning an ukah that's filled already serves as a hekir, meaning it reminds the people of the chatzer that you cannot throw directly your water into the Reshut Rabim. So even if it's filled, it's okay. So therefore, what do I care if both the yutot made in Eruv? So they can both carry. So the only issue was what? You're worried about overflowing in the ukah? So what? Overflowing in the ukah is mutat. I'm not going direct, I'm going into the ukah. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela yitman, achi yitman. If you want to learn like this, Amar Rava, lo shanu ela shelo erbu. So we're talking about where nobody, no sides have really rights to carry in this hatzer. Aval erbu mutarim. But of course, if they made an erub, carrying be permissible, and therefore, even though there's overflowing, so what? It's mutar. So the Gemara says, wait, v'chilo erbu ma'itamalo. Meaning, if you didn't make an erub, why should it be asur for the other side? Now, Tosfot explains over here. The side that has the alkan next to it, true, there's no erub. We will not allow them to carry buckets from their home to the Hatzer. No Eruf. we will allow them to do is pour off the side of their house. It'll trickle down from their balcony into the ukah that's right next to them. So for them it's permissible. Right? Because you're going to shoot the yachid, to shoot the yachid, and going b'kohor indirectly into the chatzit. The rabbi's going to make a gezerah in such a case that you need an eruv to do such a thing. Oh, so for the same reason that you allow that side to do it, the Gemara is saying, let the other side do the same thing. Let it trickle off their balcony, go into the chatzit, into the ukah. So the Gemara answers, Amar Aveshek, gezerah dilma atel apukim imaneh debatim nahatam. Gezerah, you're worried that they might come and take buckets from their homes, walk it downstairs in the chatzer where they're not allowed to because there's no eruv, walk it to the ukah and pour it in. So Tosafot says, why only on that side are you worried that they might walk it to the ukah? Why don't you make the gezerah on the other side? Nobody can carry buckets in the chatzer. Explanation is that when you're far from the ukah, you're worried the guy might not want to pour it down his wall, and then it's going to trickle down through the chatzir all the way to the ukah. You're going to dirty the chatzir. So therefore, you might walk it. On the other side, it's right next to the house, the ukah. Therefore, he pulls it right down the diuta into the ukah, goes straight into it. So I'm not worried about him carrying. I'm worried about the guy who doesn't want the chatzir to get dirty. So therefore, the Gemara says, in that case, where even if they, where they did not make an eruv, so then only the side that's next to the ukaz mutah, the sign that's not is asur. Hadran ala ketsa mishtatefin.
Baruch anuah le'olam.
Amen v'amen.
To all our listeners of the Daf HaYomi, to make Masechet Eruvin a little easier, we are using a sefer called HaMa'or HaMevo'ar. It is put out by Me'orot Daf HaYomi. It is available in bookstores. It has a lot of different pictures of the different cases throughout the Masechet, and it goes according to the Dapim. So whenever we mention, and there's also a number next to each picture that goes out, goes throughout the Masechet. So whenever we mention a number of a picture, for example, see picture number 52, we're referring to picture number 52 in that book. So I would advise our listeners to get the sif and follow along, just so you can know exactly the configuration of the situation that we are talking about, the school of mitzvot.